Samach Tes Amar Aleph. We're up to the ninth line in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Mosar Shlish Bischarcha Hareze Mutter, Ushmuel Amar, Lo Matza Mosar Shlish, Yelech Leveso Rekan, Ella Amar Shmuel Kotzeitz Lo Dinar. The Gemara presents a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel regarding the following scenario. Imagine I hire someone to go take care of an animal for me, and I want to circumvent any potential issues of ribbis that may theoretically arise. So Rav says that the owner of the animal and the person he hires to watch the animal can essentially divide everything equally, but once the profits get beyond a third of the animal's value, everything now belongs to the person taking care of the animal, because otherwise he's not getting paid for his labor, as we discussed extensively yesterday. So Rav says that once you get above a profit of a third of the animal's value, everything goes to the person tending to your animal, and that's mutter, there's no issue of ribbis. Shmuel argues and says, well, what if the person tending to your animal doesn't profit at all, or doesn't profit more than a third of the animal's value, then he's going to go home empty-handed, and you're still going to run into a problem of ribbis. Therefore, Shmuel says, the only way to override or to overcome the concern of ribbis here is to effectively set aside a dinar from the outset and say, this is going to be your fixed wages. If you profit above and beyond that value, then you will also be entitled to that. So asks the Gemara, the Savar Rav, Ein Kotzitzin Lo Dinar, the Ha'amar Rav, Reish Egla Lifatuma, Mai Lav De Amar Le Mosar Shlish Bischarcha. The Gemara says, what, does Rav disagree with Shmuel's suggestion? Does Rav not say that you have to set aside a dinar for the person tending to your animal? The problem is that Rav tells us that the head of the animal, the head of the calf, goes to the person that you hired to fatten the animal. So presumably, says the Gemara, what that means is that any profit that was accrued more than a third of the animal's value is going to solely go to the person who tended to the animal, which leads us to believe, as the Gemara says explicitly, that you have to set aside a dinar, you have to set aside a certain amount for the guy tending to your animal in order to circumvent ribbis. To which the Gemara says, lo, de ka'amar le imosar shlish irish egla lefatuma. One suggestion is that either you're going to pay him profits above and beyond the one-third value of the animal, or you're going to give him the head of the calf as his wages. That's one option. Ibayasema. The second suggestion in the Gemara is that Rav only said that it's permissible to hire someone, that there's no issue of ribbis here, that in other words, once the animal profits above and beyond a third of its value, that you give all of that profit to the guy tending to the animal, that's assuming that the person that you hired already has animals of his own that he's tending to. Why does that make a difference? Because the Gemara coins this expression, gavil lesora, gavil lesore. Once the guy is mixing food and preparing food for his one ox, it's not so much of an inconvenience to prepare food for multiple oxen. But if the guy doesn't have any oxen of his own, so that's going to be a serious inconvenience for him to prepare food for them. So the only time in the second answer of the Gemara that we can overcome the concern of ribbis is if the person happens to already have animals that he's tending to that belong to him. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar meha gronia zavin behema, v'yohiv le la'arise mefatim le, v'yohiv le reisha ba'agre, v'yohiv palgaravcha. Rabbi Elazar from Hagronia hired someone to fatten an animal that he had purchased, and as part of his wages to this sharecropper that he hired to take care of the animal, to fatten the animal, he gave the head of the sheep or the head of the animal as his wages, and in addition to that, he also gave him half the profits. He split the profits of the animal with the share. Cropper. So Amr Le Divisu, Imishtataft Bahade, Yohev Lachnami Elisa. So the wife of the sharecropper said to him, if you had actually invested in the animal with Rabbi Elazar, instead of just being his sharecropper and fattening the animal for him, so he would have also given you the fatty tail of the animal, which is a very choice part of meat. So Azal Zavin Bahadei, Palig Le Me Elisa. So the next time Rabbi Elazar was buying an animal, the sharecropper decided to invest. So he also put in half the money, and as a result, he got part of the fatty tail of the animal. So Amar Le Tan Niflagei L'Reisha. So then Rabbi Elazar turns to him and says, okay, let's divide the head of the animal. So Amar Lei, Hashta Kime Ikara Nami Lo. So the sharecropper says, what, you're not going to give me the way that you gave me originally? In other words, Rabbi Elazar now was suggesting that they're going to divide the head of the animal as opposed to giving the entire head to the sharecropper as he had done in the first case. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Elazar responds to him, Ad ha inna zuze didi havu, ilo hava yahivna lach tfei purta mechse keribis. Hashta shut tfei anan, Maika Amar Tarachna Tfei Purta Amri and She Stam Arisa Lamari Arakabashabe Namshe La Asuile Raya. So Rabbi Elazar's response to the sharecropper was as follows. He says, in the first case, I was the one who bought the animal. The animal belonged to me. I hired you as a sharecropper. So in order to avoid issues or concerns of ribis, I gave you the head of the animal as part of your wages. But here, you also invested in the animal. Now, what, you're concerned that you're going to expend more effort than I am? You're the one tending to the animal and I'm just sitting at home and I laid out some money. So Rabbi Elazar says that's not an issue of ribis, because there's an expression that goes that the sharecropper is meshabe himself. He basically subjugates himself to the master and is willing to exert himself a little bit more. That doesn't qualify as ribis. It's one thing to say that if a guy lays out all this money and you're just working for him for nothing, that's obviously ribis. But in a case where the guy invested and the expectation is he's a sharecropper, in other words, the expectation is he's going to do a little bit more work than you, that does not qualify as ribis. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Hashem behima lachaviro, ad masay chayav l'tapelba. Asks the Gemara, if let's say you appraise an animal and you're hiring someone to tend to your animal, to take care of your animal, how long, for what period of time does this person have to tend to your animal? Sumcha somer, ba'asonos shmonas ar chodesh, begodros chaf dalet chodesh. So Sumchas distinguishes between different kinds of animals. If we're dealing with something like female donkeys, so the person has to tend to the donkey for 18 months. If it's animals that move around, like sheep and goats and things like that, then it's 24 months. V'im ba lachalok besoch zvano, chaviro ma'akev alav, aval einu doma tipula shoshana zo, le tipula shoshana acheres. Avo my kamar, ela lefisha eno doma tipula shoshana zo, litipula shoshana acheres. And where it basically just clarifies that if the person tending to the animal wants to divest himself, he wants to basically dissolve this arrangement before that end date, before the 18 or 24 months are up, he has no right to do that, because part of the agreement is that he's going to tend to the animals for that specific period of time. Then the Gemara says, Tanya idach, Hashem behema lachaveiro ad masay chayav l'tapo bevelagos. The second price that discusses, again, a similar type of an arrangement where you appraise the animal, someone agrees to tend to the animals. How long must he tend to the offspring that are born from those animals? Bedaka lamed yomu v'gasa nunyom, Rabbi Yossi omer bedaka gimel chadashim, mipnei she tipula merube. My tipula merube, mipnei she shineh hadakos, so it's a machlukas in the Gemara. According to the Tanna Kamma, for smaller animals, you have to tend to them for a month, for 30 days. For larger animals, for 50 days. And Rabbi Yossi says that smaller animals must be tended to, the offspring of smaller animals must be tended to for 3 months, because they require more care for the smaller animals, because the Gemara says that shineh hadakos, that their teeth are very small. It's hard for them to digest and to chew the food properly, and it requires someone to cut the food up very, very small. So therefore, that job is going to require a period of 3 months. Once that period has elapsed, so the Gemara says that the person who's tending to the animal, to the offspring, is going to get his full half that he agreed to divide with the owner, and he's also going to take chatzi mechza shel chaveiro. He's going to take a quarter of the other person's half. In other words, that's basically his wages. So in other words, they initially invested, so he has his own half based on the money he put in. But then, in order to avoid issues of ribis, he's also going to have to take a wage, which is going to come out of half of the half that the other person had, which is essentially a quarter of the owner's share in the animal. Okay, the Gemara says, Rav Menashe bar Gada shakal mechza shelo v'chatzi mechza b'shel chaver. So the Gemara relates that Rav Menashe did this, that he took his own half for tending to the animal, as well as a quarter from the owner's animal. So also the kamei da abaye amar le man plaglach va'od makom sheno agul gadalu usnan makom sheno agul gadalu yagdilu. So Abaye chastised Rav Menashe for two reasons. He says, first of all, he says, how do you know how to divide the money evenly? Meaning, even though we take it as a given that the person who tended to the animal, in addition to getting his half, is also going to take a quarter of the other guy, but how did you know to properly divide the money to assess the value of the animal exactly, evenly? And in addition to that, the Mishnah on the next Dhamma tells us that if you live in a place where the practice was that the guy that you hired was going to raise the offspring of the animal that he was supposed to tend to, so then that's built in. There's no additional fee for that. There's no extra wages for that. And apparently Rav Menashe lived in such a locale. He lived in such a place where it was considered the norm to have the guy who was tending to the animal to also raise the offspring. Then the Gemara says, Hanhu tre kusai, to avud iska bahadeda. There were these two Samaritans, these two kusim, who were doing business with one another. Azil chad minayu, polig zuze belodaite dechavre. So basically, they had invested in something, they had money, and then one of them decided to go and sell off the coins without the knowledge of the other one. Asu l'kamei d'Rav Papa, amar lei, mai nafka mina, hachi amar Rav Nachman, zuzei keman defligei damu. So when one of the kusim came to Rav Papa and was upset that the other guy sold everything off without his knowledge, Rav Papa said to him, he's like, what's the big deal? Because we assume that coins, that money, is already considered to be divided up. Meaning, whatever your colleague sold off, you're still entitled to the same half that you were entitled to when you initially went into the investment. Lishana zavun chamra bahadeda. The following year, the same two guys, they bought some wine. So then, come idach polig lebelo daiti dechavri. The other guy, the guy who got cheated last time, he decided to go and sell off all the wine without the knowledge of the first guy. So also kamei de Rav Papa amar le man plaglov. This time, Rav Papa was chastising this kusi and telling him, "What are you doing? How did you know to properly and evenly divide up the wine?" So amar le. So the kusi said to Rav Papa, "Kachazina de vaser tidikah seimar." It seems like you're pursuing me. It seems like you have, in other words, like you have it out for me, like you have an agenda against me. Because in other words, last year when it was my colleague who cheated me, you were fine. You said, "What's the big deal?" And this year when I was the one who sold the wine, you were all of a sudden getting all upset. So the Gemara says, "No, Amar Rav Papa ki haygavna vade tzarich lo odue zuze mishakil tami v'shavik chaserei chamra kulei amiyadi the ika devasim v'ika delo basim." So the Gemara just comments parenthetically that in these kinds of scenarios, even though most of the time a dayan is not required to explain the logic behind his psak, but here it really does have the appearance of impropriety. It seems like Rav Papa really had it out for one of these guys. So he said, "I'm going to explain to you the difference." He says, "There's a fundamental difference between the coins and the wine." In the case of coins, he says, it's not like you're going to be able to tell or to divide the good coins or the bad coins, the good quality coins, the bad quality coins. But in the case of wine, everyone realizes that there's good quality wine and there's bad quality wine. There's sweet wine and there's not sweet wine. So there, it's not so easy to just say, okay, in other words, even if you divided the 50 barrels of wine in half, it doesn't mean that it's going to be an even division. Maybe the 25 barrels that you got are worth a lot less or a lot more than the other 25 barrels. So therefore, that's the reason why I'm chastising you, says Rav Papa, because you went ahead and made this division without getting a proper appraisal. Okay. In other words, says Gufa, Amar Rav Nachman, Zuze command the flige damu, hani mile tave vitave takule visakule, avotave visakulelo. The Gemara qualifies when we just said a second ago in the Gemara that when it comes to dividing coins, the assumption is that we view them as if they're already divided up and that everyone already has their half. That's assuming that all the coins are of the same quality. They're either all good or they're all what the Gemara calls takule, they're all heavy coins. But if some of them are good and some of them are heavy, some are one quality, some are another, so then you run into the same problem as we had with wine, and it's not going to be simple to just divide the coins and give 25 to one, 25 to the other. You have to have a formal appraisal. Rav Chama have a moger zuze b'shita b'yoma. Rav Chama used to rent out coins, would rent out dinars at the rate of a pshita, which is an eighth of a dinar per day. He assumed that he was renting out an item, like he would rent anything else out. But the problem is the Gemara says, kalu zuze de Rav Chama. This is based on a story we're talking about on Thursday in the Vayin Aleph. The Gemara is going to tell us later that because Rav Chama violated the Isser of Ribis, so HaKadosh Baruch who made all of his money disappear. The Gemara says, "Who savar maishna mimara?" So Rav Chama thought that he was justified in what he did because he thought renting out coins is no different than renting out a shovel. Vilohi mara hadra be'ena v'yadia p'chasei zuze lo hadre be'enayu v'lo yadia p'chasei. The Gemara says that it's not true. It's not a valid comparison because when it comes to money, when it comes to a shovel, so a shovel is the same shovel. The same shovel that you borrowed from me a month ago is the same shovel I'm getting back. And if there's any wear and tear, there's any deterioration, it's very easy to discern what happened to the shovel. That is not the case when it comes to money or when it comes to coins. It's not easy at all to tell any, you know, the sort of wear and tear and the discrepancy on the coin. Okay, think of it as Amar Rava. Shari li le'inish le'meimar le'lechavrei. Heilach dalek zuzei The Ozve Leflania Zuzei, Loas Ratora Eloribis Haba'a Milo Velamalve. Comes Rava and says the following. I can go over to someone, I can go over to Ruvain, I can hand Ruvain 4 Zuz and say to him, do me a favor, I want you to lend money to Shimon. In other words, I'm paying you money, these are your wages to go and incentivize you to lend money to Shimon. That is not a prohibition of Ribis, because Ribis can only be violated when it's between the Malve and the Love. You, acting as a third party, are neither the Malve nor the Love. Similarly, the Gemara says, "V'amar Rava, shari li le'inish le'meimar li le'chavrei, shakilach arba'a zuzei, v'amar li le'floni le'osvan zuzei, my time maschara miraka shakil." Similarly, the Gemara says, "I can pay Ruvain to go and convince Shimon to lend me money." Right? Let's say I can give Ruvain 4 zuz and say, "Listen, do me a favor, go tell Shimon that I need a loan of $100,000." So that's also okay. Again, the Gemara says, "Why? Because I'm only paying Ruvain for schara mira. I'm paying him to go and talk to Shimon. I'm not paying him for the loan itself, and therefore." That's also mutter. Ki had the Abba Mar Bereder of Papa have a shakil ugna de kira mikirai. The Gemara relates that Abba Mar, the son of Rav Papa, used to buy these loaves of wax from wax manufacturers. The Amar Leila Avua Osfenu Zuze. And whenever he would purchase these loaves of wax, he would convince his father Rav Papa, who is very wealthy, to lend money to the wax manufacturers. So Amar Le Rabbanan Rav Papa Achil Bereder Mar Ribisa. So the rabbis came to Rav Papa and said, "Your son is consuming ribis." He's taking wax, and as a result, he's using that as a way. In other words, he's getting the wax in order to eventually get to you to borrow money. So Amar Lahu Kol Ki Hai Ribisa Nechol Lo Asra Torah Elo Ribis Abami Lo Velo Malve Hachas Chara Miraka Shagel Vishari. Rapapa said it's not. In other words, he said it's not a problem. We just established that the prohibition of ribis presupposes that it's a loan that's being directed from the Malve to the Lova. That's not happening here. There's a third party involved, and therefore there is no prohibition of ribis. Okay, says the Mishnah. Shamin Para Vachamor. The whole davar shu oseh v'ochel lanachtam. Makum shenoagu lachluk es avlados miad cholkin. Makum shenoagu legadel yagdilu. So, in other words, any type of animal that basically, quote unquote, pays for itself, where when you tend to the animals, such as a cow or a donkey or any other animal which is going to produce revenue while it eats, so those types of animals, you are going to divide the profits equally between the person who is hiring you to tend to the animal and the owner. Then the Mishnah says, again, as we alluded to earlier, if you live in a place where the practice is that you divide the offspring of the animal right away, then you do so. And similarly, as we also noted on the previous summit, if you live in a place where the practice was that the person you hired to tend to your animal is also going to raise the offspring of the animal, so he's also expected to do that without any additional wages. Then the Mishnah says, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Shaman Egel im Imo, Vesiach im Imo, This statement we also alluded to a little bit yesterday, that you assess the value of the calf or the foal, the baby cow or baby donkey, together with its mother. And then the last line in the Mishnah, which Gemara is going to explain in a second, is that you can inflate the value of rent on a field and there's no concern of ribis. What does that mean? So imagine the following. Ruvain rents out a field from Shimon, and the agreement is that Ruvain is going to pay him the equivalent of 10 kor of wheat per year. That was the deal. He's going to rent the field, he's going to pay Shimon 10 kor of wheat a year. The Omer, then Ruvain turns to Shimon and says, "Taimli masayim zuz va'afar nesena. I want you to loan me 200 zuz. I'm going to use those 200 zuz to hire people to fertilize the field. I'm going to improve the quality of the field, basically. And then once I do that, once I take the 200 zuz you lent me and I invest it into the field, I'm going to pay you back more than what you agreed. In other words, than what our initial agreement was. I'm going to pay you back 12 kor of wheat per year as opposed to 10. The Gemara says that's totally mutter. There is no concern of ribis there whatsoever. Why not? Because it's not really a loan. It's more of an investment. He's giving him the money in order to put into the field, and he's working the field on behalf of the owner. Abel ein mafres lo al chanus v'lo al sfina. However, this mechanism does not work when it comes to a store or to a boat. In other words, if you're using the money to purchase merchandise to put into your shop, or you're going to sell things off of your boat, you're going to sell merchandise off your boat, so then this method is not going to work in that case. However, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, pa'amim shemafres al chanus Latsur Batsura, Svina Lasosla Iskaria, Chanus Latsur Batsurta, Titsavu Ba Inche Vahave Agra Tfe, Svina Lasosla Iskaria, Kavan de Shapira Iskaria Tfe, Agra Tfe. So the Gemara says that there are certain exceptions, even in the case of a shop or a boat, if the money that the person is using, where he's, in other words, he's getting money to sell produce, to sell merchandise, or whatever it is, so if he then takes that money and he invests it in putting up some kind of a very eye-catching mural, let's say, by his store, or he uses it to fix the sale of his boat. So now, his store and his boat are becoming more profitable. If he puts up some kind of a very eye-catching thing by his shop, it's going to draw more people in. If he fixes the sale on his boat, it's going to make the boat more efficient. He's going to be able to sell more merchandise, so that would be permissible. Then the Gemara says, Svinta, Amar Rav, Agra Ufagra. So Rav says, makes the following observation: if a person rents a boat, he is responsible to pay the rent for the boat, as well as any damages to the boat. So Amru Le Rav Kahana V'Rav Asi L'Rav V'Agra Lo Pagra V'Ipagra Lo Agra. So the problem is that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi turn around to Rav and say, that doesn't make any sense. If I'm renting the boat, then by definition, I'm not the owner of the boat. So I should be responsible either to pay the rent or to pay for the damages, but not for both. So the Gemara says, Shasik Rav. Rav was quiet. He didn't know how to respond. So Amar Rav Sheshes, my time is Shasik Rav. Why was Rav quiet? Lo Shmiel Le Hadisanya, Afal Pisha Amru Ein Mekablin Son Barzal Mi Yisrael, Aval Mekablin Son Barzal Min Hanachrim, Aval Amru Hashem Para Lachaviro, The Amar Lo Hare Parascha Asuya Alay Beshloshim Dinar, Va Ani Eala Lechasela Bechodesh Mutter, Lefi Shalo Asa Adamim, The Lo Asa, Amar Rav Sheshes, Lo Asa Adamim Echayim, Ela Liachar Misa. So Rav Sheshes was taken aback at the fact that Rav kept quiet, that Rav couldn't figure out a way to deflect this argument because it's an explicit brisa. The brisa comments that while it's true that a person is not permitted to accept a guaranteed investment from a Jew, meaning he is not allowed to take something where he's effectively accepting all the loss upon himself and only potentially gaining half the profits, because if in fact because that would run into problems of ribis, but he is permitted to do such a transaction with a non-Jew. However, the brisa further comments that if a person appraises the value of a cow and he has someone tend to the cow or work the cow, and he says, this cow I'm going to give to you for 30 dinar, in other words, for the value of 30 dinar, and I'm going to pay you a sela a month, the Gemara says that is mutter. Why? Because they never agreed in the lifetime of the cow to make such a deal. They only agreed la'achar misa. So the Gemara, so in other words, Rav Sheshes's argument, in other words, to defend Rav's position as to why it is that the renter would potentially be liable to pay both the rent as well as any damages to the boat, is because that was basically built into the agreement. That was the assumption. There was never a stipulation that said that he's not going to be liable for both. And finally, the Gemara says, "Amar of Papa, Hilchasa Sfina Agra Ufagra, Venohagu Bnei Kufra Agra Bishas Meshicha, Pagra Bishas Shavira." So the Gemara just ends off and says that we paskin like this shita of Rav. We assume that if you're renting a boat, you have to pay both the rent as well as any damages to the boat. And the practice was that the sailors used to pay the rent when they would initially do Mashicha, when they initially pulled the boat, and any damages they would pay whenever the boat would break. And the Gemara just points out that the reason why the Gemara uses the terminology of minhaga, of a minhag, is just because that was the language in the Mishnah. That was what the Mishnah was discussing. But in reality, this is a real bona fide halacha. This is not simply just a minhag. The real halacha is that if you're renting a boat, you have to pay both the rent as well as any damages to the boat.